Have you ever been stuck in just, offer bumper to bumper traffic, staring ahead, wishing you could just, I don't know, fly over it all? Or maybe dreaming of a car that just drives itself while you relax or get some work done?
That's a common feeling, absolutely. And what the sources you shared suggest is, well, for the 2030 generation, that dream, it's not really fantasy anymore. It's fast becoming their reality.
Right. So welcome everyone to your deep dive into the future of mobility for the 2030 generation.
Oh.
The material we've looked at suggests we're right on the edge of a huge mobility revolution, like a shift so big it makes the whole horse-drawn carriage to automobile thing seem, well, almost quaint.
Definitely. And our mission here in this deep dive is really to pull out the most important bits, the surprising facts from those sources. We're looking at five main pillars: electrification, autonomy, urban air mobility, the shared economy, and urban redesign. It's not just small changes, you know, it's how they all come together to reshape how we move.
Okay, let's unpack this. First up, electrification. The sources point to this incredibly rapid EV adoption, especially millennials, Gen Z. It's not just sustainability, is it? What else is driving them towards EVs, based on the research?
What really stands out in the material is that for this generation, owning a car, it's less about status, maybe. It's more about having this seamless, connected experience. And EVs, they're kind of like mobile smart devices. They fit right into their digital lives. That mindset, plus the sustainability factor, yeah. It's projected to push global EV market share over 50% by 2030.
Wow, 50%. That's huge acceleration. But the material also flags a problem: the charging infrastructure gap, urban versus rural. How are things like government policy and brand loyalty fitting in here, according to the research?
Yeah, that's interesting. The sources show this shift in brand loyalty. It's not just about horsepower anymore. It's more about a company's real commitment to ESG, to a sustainable future. Think Tesla, Hyundai, BYD. They're building trust, not just selling cars. And government subsidies, they're definitely helping younger people get into EVs, especially in cities. But yeah, that rural gap is still a big challenge, the research points out.
Okay, so electrification is changing what we drive. But the next big thing in the sources is autonomy, how it's going to totally change the act of driving itself. Level 4, level 5 autonomy. What
Right.
does that actually feel like for someone using it?
Right. Imagine just telling your car the destination, then immediately opening your laptop or
Right.
starting movie. Zero need to watch the road. That's the jump your sources describe. It basically turns your commute into, well, mobile personal time, which raises a pretty interesting point about, your driver's license.
Oh, yeah, the sources mentioned that it shifts from a license to drive to a license to just be a passenger in a self-driving car. That's wild. And the material also gets into that really tricky ethical stuff, doesn't it? How does the AI decide in an unavoidable accident? That's a whole new ethical minefield.
It is, absolutely. And your sources really explore that complexity. There's a lot of research going into programming those life or death decisions, which kind of leads us smoothly into the next thing: urban air mobility, UAM. This isn't sci-fi anymore. We're talking automated electric vertical takeoff and landing aircraft, eVTOLs, for city transport.
It really is surprising how fast this stuff is moving from concept to reality, isn't it? The research notes major cities, US, UAE, Europe, already piloting drone taxis and mapping out vertiports.
They are. The biggest public hurdles noted in your sources: noise and air safety concerns. Got to overcome those for widespread acceptance. And that brings us to pillar four: the shared economy beating out ownership. Seeing a big generational shift there, particularly Gen Z moving away from owning cars.
Makes sense. What's the core reason, and what new services are popping up?
It really boils down to this experience over ownership idea. Your sources really hammer this point. Access to the best way to travel for that specific trip is what matters now. Maybe an e-scooter for a short hop, or an autonomous van if you're with a group. So the material points to these monthly mobility subscriptions emerging. One fee, access to a whole fleet, no single car ownership needed.
That's a fundamental change. Okay, finally, urban redesign, the end result of all this. How do the sources say cities themselves will change?
One really surprising detail your sources highlight: taking old parking lots, garages, and turning them into parks, green spaces, because fewer people own cars, right? Imagine getting all that space back for people.
Yeah.
Yeah, and new buildings designed with vertiports built right in, public transport hubs becoming these multimodal buses, trains, autonomous shuttles, air taxis, all connected.
So pulling it all together, these five pillars, they converge. They create this totally seamless, integrated way to move, just like your sources describe. It sounds like liberating us from you know, traditional travel constraints, rigid schedules, being stuck on the ground.
Exactly. Which leaves a big question for you, the listener, to think about. In a world where getting around isn't a chore anymore, where cards become mobile lounges or offices, how does that change your sense of identity, your connection to places, your daily routine? What new possibilities and maybe challenges does this totally reshaped world bring for your personal freedom? Something to consider.